This program is brought to you with support from the U.S. EPA. We're here to present the EFC Network podcast. The Environmental Finance Center Network is a partnership of 12 centers serving 10 EPA regions. The EFCN provides training and technical assistance to small water and wastewater systems. This podcast series has been designed to help system personnel improve technical, managerial, and financial capacity of the utilities and communities they serve.
Hello, and welcome to a conversation about the Small Community Assistance Planning Tool, or otherwise known as the SCAP tool. The SCAP tool is an Excel-based tool that small communities and their utilities can use to develop asset management plans that include inventory, the condition and life cycle of their assets, and help to develop prioritization of repair and replacement for their plans, whether it's for operation and maintenance or for future planning for future improvements and upgrades.
And this is Brian Bonsack, and my pleasure to be with you today. I'm a big proponent of the SCAP tool. I first learned about it when I met Linda Hills from Eastern Research Group, or ERG, and she's with us today. I've had the pleasure of attending and seeing the presentation on SCAP and the SCAP tool. And Linda, welcome, and thanks for coming, and thanks for sharing your knowledge of the program. You guys are the ones that developed it for EPA, and you're an expert at it. So thank you and welcome for being here.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So Linda, can you give us a brief background on the tool and like its origin and just a little bit more about its beginnings? So
you bet. So we developed this tool for EPA Region 7. They had a project for us. They found that a lot of small communities really do struggle with asset management. And as you guys know, asset management is really in the forefront in the water and wastewater world right now. There's really, really trying to encourage especially smaller systems to have a good understanding of their assets and a better planning tool. And there was an EPA tool called CUPS, and it stood for Checkup Program for Small Systems. And it was a nice tool, but there's a lot of criticism that it was kind of proprietary, and people found it was a kind of web-based tool, and people found that they weren't able to make use of it at their own how they wanted to. So EPA Region 7 asked us to come up with a really simple tool that would be accessible, especially to small systems. And this was originally designed for at the level of about 500 people, so very small. And they didn't want any proprietary limitations. So we developed the tool in Excel, thinking that most people have access to Excel.
Yeah, that's true. We love Excel, and we've been sharing it freely. And when you developed it, did you get the chance to pilot test it with any communities? And can you give us any feedback as to what you may have found there?
We did. So we worked with a couple different tribal communities. I was involved in one of the pilot testing. We went to the Omaha tribe in Nebraska, and it was great. We worked with them. It was about, it took us about one day on the wastewater side and one day on the drinking water side, but we did a really thorough assessment of their assets. So the way the tool starts off, at its core, it's an asset inventory. And even if all you do is just that first tab of the sheet in Excel, it's just what helps the system walk through what are your assets and getting an inventory of it. And then the other key thing is estimated installation date. There's very few, if you look at the tool itself, there's very few required fields. You can kind of make it as complicated or as simple as you like. But it starts off that way. So we walked them through their assets at the drinking water system. And again, we went all the way from source to tap. And then if you want to take it to the next level, you can do the condition assessment and the vulnerability assessment. So getting a sense of what is the probability of failure, what is the consequence of failure. So that's how the tool works at its heart.
There are two different tools. That's one of the things we actually had the chance to pilot test it here. And there is a tool for the water side and a separate tool for the wastewater side. So yeah, just a reminder on folks. And you said, if I'm remembering right, you said it took about a day each, one day for water and one day for wastewater. Is that correct?
That's right. When we ran through it at the Omaha tribe, We started off at, you know, kind of an interview of the operator, walked him through like what he knew kind of off the top of his head, because as you know, these operators really know their systems. And so we kind of interviewed him, and then we went through, we walked through the treatment system. We went out into the distribution and tried to get some pictures of, say, you know, faceplates that show when things were installed, and remind you of, oh yeah, I forgot about that asset, that we should keep that in mind. This fails often and we have to replace it. And then we did walk them through each of the assets and kind of a, an estimated installation date. And if you don't know, you know, just ballpark is enough to get started. And then we walked them through all the way to the consequence and probability of failure. And then at the very end, it'll actually rank. What is your highest, your most critical asset? And we were really pleased to see that our tool spit out the same critical asset that the operator said. They had a single water main, a transmission main from the plant to town. And it was a long one, several miles. And it was old cast iron. And they said, you know, the probability of failure is fairly high because it's old and cast iron, and the consequence is very high because if this asset fails, everybody's out of water. So we were pretty pleased to see that our tool predicted the same thing that his instinct said.
And that's great to hear. We know the operator there. We've worked with him. He's a great guy. I'll share with you that we here at Wichita State Environmental Finance Center, we pilot tested it with a much larger utility with the plant of El Dorado, Kansas. I think they serve around 14,000, if I'm remembering right. And similar to what you found out, I mean, we took a day each for the water side and a day for the wastewater side, worked with their operators. And similar to your results, our results were at the end when it ranked what's the most important. It was right in line with what the operators thought. So we're a big, big proponent of the system and want to continue spreading the word. we love it and find it easy to be very easy to use. Like you mentioned, the asset inventory is probably the most important stuff. If you can just get that done, completed, that's a great resource that you can, future operators of the system, at least gives them something to start from. So
another thing we often point out about the tool is that one of the issues that we talk about in the water and wastewater world is concerns about an aging workforce. And we know that a lot of systems are really reliant on institutional knowledge, what these operators remember off the top of their heads. And this is just a great way to get it down on paper. Just kind of walk them through it. And, you know, where do you get your valves from? There's a lot of extra things that this tool can do for you, even things like, you know, keeping track of who's your supplier for certain things. So it's also kind of a knowledge retention tool.
What kind of challenges have systems identified with using the SCAP tool?
I would say one of the concerns is a lot of these small systems, even Excel, is kind of might be a challenge, especially for an older operator. So that can be a challenge. I think that the biggest challenge, though, in any asset, whether using this tool or something else in any asset management, is buried infrastructure. Getting a sense of not only what you have out there, but, you know, what's the material, when was it installed. Part of it is because you can't see it, and part of it is because they tend to be your older assets. They have longer lives, and there's even less likelihood that you're going to have information about it. So how to assess, especially pipe. When we walked through the tool in Omaha, one of the things he said, well, how should we do this? How should we rank our pipe? How should we slice and dice it? And it ended up being like, oh, that section of town, that was installed in 1980. Oh, then we did a major water main replacement program in 2016 over there. So that's how we ended up kind of breaking it out for them. But that is always a challenge, how to, especially your pipe and valves.
One of the things we talk about with communities when we talk with them about asset management planning, especially that inventory piece, is that sometimes that inventory is going to take a while for that exact reason that you just gave. You've got a lot of underground assets that you just maybe don't even know where they are yet. So as your community does other projects like maybe street repairs or other type of residential rehab and things like that, that maybe those pipes would come to the surface. And so what we've been telling folks is, while you're out there in the field helping the street department, or if the street department is ripping something up, go ahead and say, hey, can we come look at the pipe that's under that street real quick so that we can add it to our inventory? So I think, you know, tools aside, I think what you touched on there is something that communities are facing regardless of the tools that they use.
Right.
One of the audiences that we speak with often are utility boards, councils, city council members, city administrators, kind of decision-making bodies, as a way to get them to understand the importance of asset management. Do you have suggestions for how utilities might be able to use this tool to talk with their decision makers about the importance of asset management planning?
Yeah, you bet. I think that when you've got, say, an operator coming to a board, oftentimes kind of pleading for money, right? And budgeting for current and future needs, becoming to that meeting prepared is really going to be helpful. And one thing we always say is, this is an asset management tool. It's not an asset management plan. Like, a fully realized asset management plan would rely on something like this tool, but, you know, it would take it to the next level. But even if all you have is this to show, we have put thought into what our assets are, which ones are already past their useful life, which ones are heading in to being past their useful life, you're going to be able to put confidence in those decision makers that you're making good decisions about your budgeting requests. So I guess that's the biggest thing, is showing that you've thought it through and you're prepared and you really know what your needs are going to be.
Yeah, that communication piece, having those data visualizations, I think can be very valuable. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, with a lot of folks do know how to use Excel. So being able to pull out a chart from those Excel spreadsheets, especially like that prioritization list and things like that, I also agree would probably be very useful.
Yeah. One thing also to be, just to let your listeners know, is, again, this tool is, it's just Excel. There is a protection so that people don't accidentally change a field that they don't want to, but there's a little button that says how to unprotect a sheet. So you can do that. You are welcome to unhide the tabs that are hidden. There's some background information that we didn't want visible to everyone, just because we don't want to overwhelm, but someone who's savvy with Excel can go ahead and make any changes they want. Like, one suggestion would be to add a tab for a lead service line inventory. Mm-hmm. So if you want to just get started on your lead line inventory that, you know, systems are all going to have to be doing in the next year or some, just add a tab for that. We do have a user's guide. We developed it. We developed the tools so that it was fairly intuitive. One thing we might add in the next version would be a README tab, but we hope that it's generally pretty intuitive. But we also have a user's guide, and we also have a manager's guide that talks more about the inner workings, like how all of the formulas work. And I know that Brian has those. So if anyone wants them and is listening, Brian can get them to you.
Yeah, we'll get that information up on our website, and folks can be able to download it. The manager's guide in particular will be useful for those folks that are Excel savvy. So should be a great resource.
If anybody listening would like to check out the tool, you can find it at the Environmental Finance Center at Wichita State University's website, which is www.wichita.edu/EFC, and go to our resources tab, and you can download the drinking water and wastewater SCAP tools, as well as that user guide. And if you would like that manager's guide, we're happy to get that to you. Our contact information is out there as well. Linda, thank you so much for being here with us today and talking to us about this tool. As Brian mentioned, we love to promote it. It's such a great resource for our small systems, especially who really need to get going on some of that asset inventory.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you to all our listeners for tuning into this episode of the EFC Network Podcast, brought to you with support from the U.S. EPA. Be sure to stay tuned for future EFC Network podcast episodes.